This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
The 10-Minute Timeout is a mini podcast that brings Mississippi sports stories to life. Join me, Lacey Alexander, as I learn more about the teams, athletes, staff, and programs that make our state proud. One-on-one interviews with influential playmakers paint a clear picture for listeners of how Mississippi sports inspire and energize our community. New episodes released every other Friday on your favorite podcasting app.
This is Next Stop Mississippi, and before we hit the road, let me welcome my traveling partner, Kamel King. I am Java Chapman. Yes, Jermaine Flood is out of the studio. It's just us, bro.
Oh, this is crazy.
It's just us, and we were talking before the show, and yeah, it really was feeling like just us, though.
Yes, exactly.
We got a couple things to get into, the Snappy Sink Soiree. We're also going to check in with Jermaine out at the Natchez. Out in Natchez for the Mississippi Antique Showcase. Also, we're going to hear her conversation with veteran NPR host Rachel Martin about the launch of her new podcast, Wild Card. But also, we're going to Starkville. Yeah, we got the largest wiener dog race. I was like, what?
I know, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Are they going to eat hot dogs while they race the wiener dog?
No.
Just want to know.
It's crazy. Yeah, so that's the Starkville Derby, and that's all happening throughout the show. But, of course, man, what's up with you? What you got going on this weekend?
Oh, man, like we were talking about.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to, you know, let everybody know your whereabouts.
Exactly. But traveling on behalf of the state to do some field research, and definitely going to report back with that. And this week, honestly, we have been just pounding on all of the markers that are coming out. Man, we are about to have an incredible amount of unveilings for the Mississippi Blues Trail, the Country Music Trail, a ton coming out for the Mississippi Freedom Trail,
yes,
and as well as the Writers Trail. I don't know if people know, but there is a federal funds that was given to Mississippi called EDA funds, and part of that was parceled off to promote and pay for markers. So a lot of these communities where these markers cost $9,200 to $10,000, mm-hmm, these EDA funds have been paying for them. So these communities are going to be flooded with wonderful markers memorializing their artists, their freedom fighters, and so on and so forth.
And these markers are so important because they do solidify like a point in time or a place or a certain group of people or individuals. I even saw a commercial. I don't want to shout out the cellular provider.
Yeah.
But it's a commercial, and the guy in the commercial, he's talking about, yeah, I'm traveling around the Mississippi Blues Trail.
Yes.
I don't know. Have you seen that?
I'm in that commercial.
You're in that commercial?
Yeah, but I'm on the longer one that's
okay
through social media, not the one on TV.
On TV, yeah. And the guy is going through and they're showing the different markers. And that's just, you know, I mean, it's a commercial, but people actually do that.
Yes.
Like they get on the trail and hit and stop as many markers as they can.
Yes. And it's a wonderful experience. And shout out to my boy, Brian Ballou, who stars in that commercial. Yeah. Son of Howard Ballou.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Long-time broadcaster.
Exactly.
Now that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. So if you're looking for something to do, if you not don't care about a little bit of rain this weekend, I do have to shout out Jackson State is graduating, Tougaloo is graduating this weekend, but you know, they may not be able to be outside because of the rain a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to everybody. And if you don't,
Most definitely, you
want to get out, go see some markers.
There you go. You'll have a fun time, and those cities will treat you well.
That is true. But let's go ahead and jump into our first stop of the day. We'll have us gazing at fireflies. I have yet to be out at this event, but I've heard so many great things about it. I've seen clips in, I mean, the Snappy Sink Soiree Firefly Tours that happened at the Bill Waller Craft Center in Ridgeland are something to behold, and they're going to be happening May 16th through the 19th. And on the line to tell us all about it is coordinator and master naturalist and creature comforts superstar, Miss Claire Graves. Claire, welcome back to Next Stop Mississippi.
Hey guys, I'm excited to tell you all about Snappy Sinks today.
Master Naturalist. I'm talking about, that is a wonderful title. That's, I love it.
You know how to do things if you're a master naturalist.
Yeah.
That's what's up. You know, it's a great program through the Mississippi State Extension Service that trains citizens to really know a lot about Mississippi's natural resources and to help with conservation efforts. And we have an awesome team of volunteers throughout the state that are all master naturalists, and a bunch of them help give firefly tours at this event.
Well, that's great, Claire. Mm-hmm. For somebody who's unfamiliar with the Snappy Sync Soiree and Firefly Tours, go ahead and let them all know what's going to be happening May 16th through the 19th at the Bill Waller Craft Center in Ridgeland.
Definitely. So Mississippi has one of the most incredible populations of synchronous fireflies. So these are fireflies that all flash at the same time. They get in sync with one another.
Whoa.
And if you've never seen it before, it's pretty wild. So these are not just your average firefly you see in your yard. It's a special type of firefly. We call them Snappy Syncs. And they come out and are kind of doing their display for about 2 or 3 weeks in central Mississippi between Mother's Day and Memorial Day. So 5 years ago, we started this event behind the Craft Center in Ridgeland, right along the Natchez Trace Parkway, because that's one of the prime spots that people can access these fireflies and take a look at them. So we give tours, public tours, ticketed tours for 3 nights, and then the special event that we still have tickets available for is on Thursday night when we have the Snappy Sync Soiree. So that event is food, music, hanging out with cool people, and then getting to do a firefly tour out there on the trace. It's a ton of fun. The event always sells out. We've had people from 10 different states come to the event.
Wow.
So it's really grown in popularity, and hope that y'all can come out and check it out sometime.
Did you happen to put in a license with the mosquitoes for them to take a break while you guys are out on this tour?
We don't have a lot of mosquito problems out there. We do get to hear a lot of other cool nighttime nature sounds. So I've got some friends from the Natural Science Museum that have helped me identify some of the owls, flying squirrels, frogs, other things that you can hear at night. A lot of people don't really get outside at night and hear some of the things and see some of the things that we have that are really cool in Mississippi. And so this is a good way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, these Snappy Syncs, correct me if I'm wrong, Claire, this kind of only happens in certain parts of the country, and we're lucky for it to happen here, correct?
Totally right. So there are only 3 different types of synchronous fireflies that are in North America, and we have one of those right in Mississippi. So Snappy Sync fireflies, you can find them throughout the Southeast, but we've got some of the best spots to see them, and they're really publicly accessible and a great habitat where we are right there on the trace. So they like old growth forests, so they need a lot of ground cover to really thrive. And of course, the Natchez Trace Parkway keeps all their stuff, you know, natural. So it's really a great place to see these fireflies. But yeah, we have something really special and unique, and we're excited to share it with people.
If you can, I mean, being a master naturalist, you know what I'm saying? Can you explain just, I mean, even from a boy who used to run around and look at these fireflies in my grandmother's yard, just can you explain the science behind a firefly? Because when I see stuff like this, I'm like, just behold the masterful of God. Because
it's the bioluminescence,
yes,
man.
It's
the
crazy.
Bioluminescence.
Right.
Oh, it's totally amazing. And just the idea that these little creatures can control their flashing is something that just totally blows my mind. Mm. And so they're doing that with chemicals, right? So they've got some special chemicals in the part of their body called their lantern, and they control the flow of oxygen to those other chemicals in their lantern. And by controlling the flow of oxygen, they can turn their flash on and off, on and off. So different species of fireflies have different flash patterns. So that's how they know one another. That's how they know that, oh, you're my kind. And so you'll see different flash patterns as far as the speed at which they flash, as well as the color of their flash.
Wow.
So we're used to seeing some like really kind of yellow glow to our fireflies, but there are fireflies that glow blue.
Now that's
green,
wild. That's
orange,
wild.
It's wild.
I did not know that. The blue and the
Mm-hmm, I'm saying.
Claire is blowing my mind right now. Now, also, Claire, is when they're syncing up and flashing like they're going to be doing during these firefly tours? Is this like a mating thing? Are the boys trying to get with the girls or something? Mm.
You are exactly right.
Oh, okay.
So you're seeing these fireflies during their total adult life. So they're only adult for 2 to 3 weeks. And they are singularly focused on finding a mate and creating the next generation of fireflies.
I got a lot of friends like that.
Singularly focused. Singularly
focused. The ones that you're seeing flying around in the snappy sinks are only the males as well. And the males outnumber the females about 50 to 1.
Oh, that sucks.
So it's competition.
Can you imagine the
competition,
world?
Baby. It's competition.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Oh, you really got to shine hard. That's when you're putting on all the good clothes, the jewelry, and the cologne.
Smell good.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
Claire, tell us about this is all happening at the Bill Waller Craft Center in Ridgeland, both the Snappy Sink Soiree and the Firefly Tours. Tell us about the Bill Waller Craft Center and what makes it, you know, the perfect place for this to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bill Waller Craft Center is the building that houses the Mississippi Craftsman's Guild, which is an incredible group of people that are doing some of the most intricate and beautiful handcrafted items that you can imagine. Glasswork, woodwork, yarn, and fiber work. I mean, they've got some blacksmiths that work out there. They're making incredible crafts. We have such an awesome and rich heritage in Mississippi of people who are great with making things with their hands. And so this is a neat group of people, and their building is located right up next to the Mississippi, the Trace, right there on the Trace. And so they've got the best habitat right back out there to have these snappy sinks really thrive. And they've been so awesome to work with and just have really embraced this event as a way to really showcase this area that's neat, that's right behind their building, get some people into the craft center and show them some of our great crafts and just kind of build that relationship.
Mm-hmm. I can picture the snappy sinks being like, you know what, Claire? Not today. Not today. we're gonna embarrass you. Not today.
I'm worried about them a little bit this year. You know, this past summer we had a crazy drought. And so we know that the drought can really affect fireflies. So we've been learning from our folks that are further down south. And they're starting to go ahead and spot their snappy sinks. So it seems like the snappy sinks probably made it through the drought. So we're ready to see them. We're excited and kind of hoping that we're going to hit it right at peak with our event.
Claire, I got to ask you, I mean, just from a point of just because I need to know. Switching from snappy sinks to mosquitoes again, is there a certain kind of blood that people have? Because I could be standing around a group of people. I'm going to be the only one that gets bit from head to toe. And I meet a couple of people like that, and we have that in common. So we hate to go outside. What is that about?
I don't know what it's about. There's a lot of different ideas about what it is. Are they
it's a cologne.
Is it?
It's a cologne,
but
Camille.
It's got to be some type of pheromone, right, or some kind of attraction to the smell or something, right? Like, they don't check your blood donation card and then decide. So
right.
I don't know how they do it, but we've got some ferocious mosquitoes here that, I mean, can get through anything. I
yes,
like.
Lord.
But I don't know. If you had any tips on mosquito control, I'm taking them.
Yeah, that's. I think you are a cologne connoisseur, admittingly so. So it may be that.
Maybe
Camille.
That. Okay.
Yeah, I know you when you come around, you bring the good fragrance.
Thank
brother.
You, sir.
The
At
good
least
fragrance.
I don't stink.
That's what I'm saying. So they may be like, hey, him.
Get him.
Him.
Yeah, he's got the good stuff.
He's got the good stuff. Now, Claire, tell us one more time where people can go to get information about the Snappy Sink Soiree, the Firefly Tours, and get tickets. This is happening May 16th through the 19th. We don't want people to wait till the last minute because it says a sellout event. Now, also, how many people can join on the tours? Like, you know, it has to be a certain amount of people for people to enjoy it, correct?
That's right. Mm. So the tours on Friday through Sunday night are already sold out.
Oh, wow. Just forget about it.
People wow. are loving it. But keep an eye out because sometimes we have cancellations. And so we want to make sure that people, if they want to come, that they kind of keep their eye on our tickets for that. But we still have tickets for the soiree event, which is, of course, the most fun part. So that's on the Thursday night. which is the 16th. And so people can go to the Craftsman Guild website and click through there to get to a link to buy tickets. Or you can go to Eventbrite and search for the Snappy Sink Firefly event, and you'll be able to get tickets right there through Eventbrite. So the tickets to the soiree are $40, and we've got food and music and a lot of fun, good stuff. And then you get to do this tour as well and really spend more time with the fireflies that night, which I think is a lot of fun. So we have about 225 people that will come to the soiree. And then in total, we'll wind up with about 800 people coming out for this event. And that's it's always just like some people who come every single year can't stop coming. They love it. And then it's really fun to have some new people to get to really take this in and experience something that's really magical within Mississippi.
Well, and listeners, tell your bad kids, don't bring mason jars. This is not a firefly catching soiree, okay?
I don't think they'll be able to catch them. They're pretty high up.
They're pretty high up. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
But thank you, Claire. We appreciate you for joining us again this year. Snappy Sink Firefly Soiree, also the Firefly Tours, happening May 16th through the 19th at the Bill Waller Craft Center in Ridgeland. You can visit mscrafts.org for more details. Claire, thank you again. Thank you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys. I hope to see you out there.
Yes, ma'am. You're listening to Next Stop Mississippi on MPB Think Radio. I'm Java Chapman in with my traveling partners, Kamel King. Woo! With Visit Mississippi. And now, joining us live. From the MPB Antique Showcase in Jackson, it is the one and only Miss Jermaine Flood. What's up, lady? How things going?
I miss y'all. It's going good. I'm here at the Natchez Convention Center in Natchez, but I miss y'all. That's for sure.
Jermaine, get your butt back here.
That's what I'm saying. I am supposed to be on the other side of the glass where Abram is sitting. I'm sitting in your chair. The world is not right now.
Right.
I know. I miss y'all so much. And I'm here, though. Everybody is here bopping around. They're getting ready. Jason Klein is here. He's walking around.
Jason is here. Jason. Oh, man, I should be in Natchez. Right.
I know. And so there's a silver lining. Y'all don't get to hang out with Jason.
Well.
But I want to invite everybody out, though, literally. I mean, we're here for the MPB Antique Showcase. That is going to be starting today at what time, Sarah Mac? 1 to 6 today, and then 10 to 4 tomorrow. So make sure y'all come out. There's still some slots left, right, Sarah Mac? Everybody can still maybe get in if you want to get in. We've been sliding people in at the last minute, literally yesterday. But, yeah, it's all going down out here. People are going to be bringing in their antiques. We're going to see all sorts of things. I hear that there could be some really high-dollar blankets on the line, so I don't know.
High-dollar blankets? Wait a minute now.
Wow. My blankets are mainstay from Walmart.
Yes. No, those are what you call $25 blankets. I'm talking about high-dollar blankets.
Oh, gosh.
So these are literally, I'm hearing that these blankets could possibly go for like $25K to $30K.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Who's going to lay on that blanket? What do you do with that blanket? Frame it? Because you ain't laying on that blanket.
That doesn't go in the stack at grandma's house.
No, it doesn't.
The stack of quilts. No. Go get a blanket. No, no.
That must have been woven by, I don't know,
some golden, angels. Some golden thread
right,
in that blanket.
Something.
Right. Well, it's down here in Natchez. It's coming, so we'll be able to see that. But this is my first time, y'all, literally being in Natchez. I've never been here. It's a beautiful city coming in. Yeah, I've never been. So this is my first time being downtown. I'm on Main Street, or you know, at the convention center. And so I love it. It's a beautiful, beautiful city.
Make sure you go to Fat Mama's and get you some tamales.
There you go.
You gotta do that.
How I love tamales.
Yeah,
yes,
it's a lot of good things out there in Natchez.
Man,
so
they got some great food.
You're gonna have a great time, especially if this is your first time. You wide eyed and bushy tailed out there.
right. Yeah, there's so much to enjoy here, but I want everybody to know to come out. If you want more information about the MPB Antique Showcase, you can go to mpbonline.org or you can go to the MPB Foundation website and you can get all the information you need to know. I mean, every single one of these, y'all, every time we do one, it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and people are coming out. And I want everybody to you know, join in with us.
Now, Jermaine, I know you said it's a couple more slots left for people who maybe want to come and be a part of the Mississippi Antique Showcase, which is a TV program. So if you haven't seen it on MPB TV, visit mpbonline.org and see when the next episode comes out from the previous shows. But if you do not want to get something appraised, you can just come and view, correct? There is an opportunity to do that, correct?
Yeah, there is a gazing ticket.
Gazing. Nice.
You can put your eyeballs on it, just don't touch it. You know what I'm saying?
AKA, let me get the El Cheapo.
Right.
Jermaine, right, what types of things do you see out there? People trying to get appraised. You know, what collage of things are you seeing?
Here when we did it on the coast, we haven't gotten started yet here. But when we did it on the coast, I mean, the biggest number of things that I see that come in are a lot of like pottery, vases, and paintings. But then you have like things like dolls that come in, and clothes that come in, and like I said, blankets and stuff that come in. And I know, Kamel, you've got a thing for like, you know, collecting jewelry. I haven't per se seen too much of that coming in, but I mean, it's welcome for sure here.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have posters. I saw in an episode where they had a Nixon poster from when he was running for president or something, and then you have sports memorabilia come through with signed baseballs and jerseys and things like that. So like you said the perfect word, Kamel. It is a collage of different things happen at the Mississippi and that are brought to the Mississippi Antique Showcase.
It is. And you know what's the most awesome thing, and I was thinking about this yesterday, when people literally come in with their stuff, they are excited.
Yeah.
It's like a big show and tell, and people come in grinning. I promise. They come in grinning and smiling and holding their stuff and don't mind talking about it, don't mind showing it to you, showing it off and things like that. So, I mean, it's such a great time when you come to the Antique Showcase because of the fact it's like a big community of people who love antiquing and who love to see what their antiques are worth. So, I wouldn't miss it for the world, and I hope nobody would miss it.
That's a great tourism draw, too. And do they have hors d'oeuvres and libations to kind of grease the wheels?
Now, you know you can't have an event without some food, man.
Exactly.
Well, let me tell you, it's a little too early right now. There's no libations out and no hors d'oeuvres out, but there is a snack machine around the corner that I'm going to tear a loose in a minute.
Hot fries.
Anybody
the breakfast of champions.
Anybody got some quarters?
Yeah.
Right.
Who got change for $1?
I see some grandma. Cookies staring me in the face.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I mean, I want everybody to come out, everybody to check it out, and things like that. Yeah,
and I can really can picture people coming through the door with their different antiques because, you know, this is something personal to them. Yeah. It's something they've had at their home. Maybe their grandmother gave it to them, or an uncle has been passed down, or something like that. And then also that wonder and amazement, like, well, how much could this be worth?
Yeah.
This has just been at home. I always knew grandma say she got it from somebody at long time ago, and it's just been sitting in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But how much could this be worth? You know, those dollar signs and those zeros get to adding up.
Well, let me tell you, I mean, sometimes they get to adding up, right? And then they'll hear something like a 25K, 30K, and then I'll ask them because, you know, I'm the interviewer for this episode, at least. And I'll ask them and I'll say, what are you going to do with it? You're going to sell it? Are you going to keep it? And usually a lot of them will say, keep it. And that's craziness to me because I'm like, 25K? Who wants it right now?
Those are people with liquid assets. That's what you call that. Extra liquid assets. You know what? I would. I'm kind of a little bit of a cynic, you know, and I love dry humor. So I would get the gazing tickets to see the people who get shot down, who think they're gonna get a lot, and they be like, "Yeah, that ain't really worth nothing." I'll be like, "Oh,
yeah." That's that story Uncle Fred told you about. He bought this in New Orleans at some antique shop.
Yes.
No, he bought it at Marshall's 3 years ago.
Here,
here's the UPC serial number right here.
He bought that at the Dollar General. Oh, it looks good.
It ain't nothing but a replica.
It looks good now. It looks good.
Not Dollar G, you said Marshalls.
That's a TJ Maxx right there. Home goods.
Y'all are so silly. But yeah, I mean, it's a big thing. I can't wait till I come up on an antique. I got to go to an estate sale or something. That's how a lot of people come up.
Yeah.
You know, they run into estate sales, yard sales, garage sales, antique shops, and they walk out with things that, you know, they paid $2 for, and now they're getting appraised for $25K. So,
Ooh. Well, yeah,
it's awesome.
What did you bring? Did you bring something?
I brought myself.
and four quarters for that snack machine.
Actually, it's five now, Java. You know everything at $1.25.
Exactly, even at Dollar Tree. I can't. So Sarah Mack, put her on the line and put her on the spot.
I'm not even in Natchez, and Sarah Mack just ran down the hallway exactly. When you said that. I already know.
They done said Sarah Mack's name three times already. Kamel wants to put her on air. Sarah Mack is going to be like, no. She said, stop it.
Now, things get started at 1 o'clock. So if people want to just, I guess, maybe at 1 o'clock make up their mind and say, hey, I'm going to go down. You can still do that, correct?
Yeah, you can still do that. 1 o'clock, come down. If you want to walk in, we can possibly fit you in. Make sure you come early, though, so that we can, you know, assess your item and things like that and be able to get you registered and put into the system. But yeah, 1 o'clock, it all gets jumped off and you're going to want to be here. This one's going to be a packed one.
Yeah. Today, tomorrow, 1 to 6 today, 10 to 4 tomorrow. So, yeah. You know, if you're out listening today and want to just make a trip to beautiful scenic Natchez.
Yes. Beautiful city.
Yeah.
Beautiful city.
Yeah, get in the car and bring your antique, come down and have some good food, meet some good MPB people, possibly get on TV and get told that your keepsake is worth a couple O's.
Well, it's for Marshalls.
Come on, come up in 2020. It's the 2024 come up.
Or, like you say, you get told it's from Marshalls.
Oh,
this is from Home Goods.
Nasty.
I'm sorry.
And if you can't get a ticket, then catch the experts going to their car and be like, hey, before you get in your van, you got a second?
I can see a number of individuals
exactly.
with that plan.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I see them coming out. Right. Yeah, let's run up. Now, Jermaine, you...
Go on.
I was just going to say, you are in Natchez live for the Mississippi Antique Showcase because you are Miss Can Do All Things.
Yes, you are.
Going to be out there working. But before you left, you had a conversation with somebody rather in person.
I did, and it was so much fun talking with veteran NPR host Rachel Barton about her newest podcast, Wild Card. I mean, she is a gem. She's actually now, you know, able to have a little fun and cut up because she's covered so many serious stories for so many years for National Public Radio. And now she's finally able to kind of cut up, cut loose, but still have a conversation with somebody and make it fun. So she's got this magical deck of cards, basically, that she was telling me about. And how that can get the conversation started. But it's basically some wild cards, and ain't no telling what the cards could say, and you're going to have to answer the question or whatever it says.
Whoa.
So can we get in? We want to get into the interview right now?
Yeah, let's get into the interview. I'm excited for everybody to hear it. So she loved me, I loved her, and y'all are going to love it.
I am here with none other than award-winning veteran NPR host Rachel Martin. She is here today to talk about her newest podcast, Wild Card with Rachel Martin. Now, it's part interview, part game show, but in this wild card, she invites actors, artists, and thinkers to join her in a game that lets them open up with the help of a very special deck of cards. And in with me right now, I have none other than the GOAT herself, Rachel Martin. Rachel,
welcome
to MPB Think Radio. Listen, I want to jump right into this game show. Did you just want to play and that's why you did it?
yes, 1,000 times yes. Awesome. I don't have to tell you that the news can be Well, it's a tough place to be.
Right.
And there's an awful lot of it. And things can be grim.
Right.
And I needed a change.
Yeah.
I needed a change. I needed to do something, to be in a space that felt inspiring, that felt like a place where people could come and see themselves reflected, no matter their political party, race, identity, faith, geography. I wanted it to be a place where everyone who has ever asked what does it mean to lead a meaningful life could come and swim around in those kinds of questions.
It's the talk with Rachel Martin, the sit down and the fun all surrounding it. Now, when it comes down to your previous work with NPR, do you feel like now is the time for you to be able to play? You've done so much with the station. I mean, I want you to be able to play, Rachel.
Oh, so nice. I went into journalism after 9/11.
Right.
And I started as an intern at the San Francisco NPR station right before. But then after 9/11, I wanted to go be a foreign correspondent and figure out what was going on in the world. And I did that and covered the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and came back to D.C. and covered the opioid crisis and, you know, far too many mass shootings in this country. And, you know, lest people think that there's not joy in the NPR programming, there is. And I got lots of it.
Yeah.
You know, I had really wonderful experiences with my colleagues and interviews that will stay with me forever. But I wanted to laugh more.
Jermaine.
I wanted to talk about heavy stuff, but I wanted to laugh and I wanted to be myself. I wanted to be the 360 degrees of me. And how could I ask a guest to do that if I wasn't willing to do that too? And so I wanted a place that was like a real place,
right,
a real conversation, where, you know, everything doesn't have to be perfect. No one's got perfect answers. No one's got perfect questions, although our questions are pretty good. But it's just, it feels authentic to where I'm at right now.
Right.
And so I'm really excited about it.
Right. So Wild Card with Rachel Martin. I want to know about this special deck of cards and what kind of magic do they hold, Rachel?
So much magic. So this is the deck of cards. My amazing producer Lee Hale came up with this idea. And as he described it to me, it's almost like the deck of cards, it's like I was sleeping, Jermaine. And in this place where I needed the joy, I needed the connection with people over these kinds of big picture interior life questions. And the game like came into my consciousness and just like knocked on the door and was like, "Hey, Rachel, this is for you. You got to play this game. Believe, just trust us. These cards have questions that you want to ask of yourself and you want to ask of others."
Yeah.
And it might sound silly to give the deck of cards a life and character and personality, but that's sort of how it feels.
They
I
live.
Mean, he wrote these questions on the cards, but it lives.
Yeah.
And it has agency and it surprises us and it leads us into the most fascinating conversational places.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. I love it. Now, when it comes down to, I want to ask a question of my own, basically, my deck of cards.
Do it.
When it comes down to, you know, public radio, local public radio, and its importance with you, like you said, coming from San Francisco, was that KQED, right?
It was indeed, yeah.
At KQED, how important is it to you that people tune into their local public radio station?
I cannot say enough about how integral public radio is to this culture, to our society, to what it means to be an informed American citizenry. You know, I got my start in public radio. I come from I'm from Idaho, like six generations from Idaho. And, you know, it sounds like a cliche now, but it's true. There are people, I would hear from them, like my dad's friends, who's this guy in particular, this guy who he farms wheat and barley, and he would listen to NPR in the early morning hours on his tractor. And so we're like, you know, the 23-year-old artist in San Francisco. And every version of American needs the information they require to make informed choices. And that comes from local stations. It's not just people in Washington, New York, and LA telling you what's what. Like, you need people in your local community telling you what's going on, giving you the facts so you can make your own choices. And there's just nothing that can replace that.
Wow. I love it. I love the fact that you came from a public, you know, radio station, and now you're at NPR, of course, with your newest podcast, Wild Card with Rachel Martin. They're saying it's a game where nothing's off the table. What does that mean? How extreme is this going to get, Rachel?
When you say it like that, it sounds a little intimidating, doesn't it? which is also great because the game itself is sort of like an internal vetting mechanism. Like when the potential guest hears what it's about, they can either say yes or no.
Yeah.
So they know what they're going to get into. You know what I mean, Jermaine? So, I mean, I'm not like some voyeuristic period person. I'm not going to like dig into, I'm not going to dig into trauma. I'm not going to dig into like very intimate details of your life.
Okay.
But, you know, I think when you do this job long enough, you can tell, you can tell when a person wants to share something and you can read cues that say, oh no, this is not for you. I'm keeping this for myself. This doesn't get to be public. I totally get and respect that. We all need those boundaries, but the degree to which people are willing to share the challenges they've gone through and how they see the world, I think that connects us all. And that's what I want to happen.
That's right. Rachel, now it's time for you to lay it on the table, all of it out. You're going to play my MPB Quiz Bowl game, and it's going to test your knowledge of anything Mississippi related.
Oh, this is not okay. Now you're going to really put me on the spot.
Okay, question number one in the Quiz Bowl game. Do you happen to know the state flower?
The state flower of Mississippi. I can't use my Google, I'm supposing. That'd be cheating.
You could. I can't see.
Okay, let's pretend. Okay. I'm not using Google. I'm just sitting here.
No.
I'm just responding to a
of course.
Email. Okay. Do you know what it is? Well, you do. It's a magnolia.
It's the magnolia.
I love magnolias.
Okay, my quiz is short, so there's only two questions. Question number two. Yep. What's the nickname of the state?
Ole Miss is a school.
It is a school. Refer to question one's answer.
Oh, the Magnolia State.
There we go, Rachel. You win. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. You win. I love it.
I don't know.
I love it. I have had a time here with NPR veteran host Rachel Martin. Her newest podcast is going to be something fun, something for you to tune into. It's Wild Card with Rachel Martin. Rachel, let everybody know where and when it's going to drop.
Okay, it's going to drop in all the places where you get your podcasts on May 2nd. I want you to write it on your calendar. Do you still write on calendars? I do. I got a paper calendar.
Me too.
Write it on your calendar. Put it in your phone. And then go to your podcast feed and check it out.
Awesome, Rachel. Thank you so much for joining us today on MPB Think Radio.
I had so much fun. Thank you, Jermaine.
I did
care.
Too. Blessings to you in the game show.
Oh, thanks, my dear. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Next Stop Mississippi on MPB Think Radio. I'm Java Chapman. I guess I'd say filling in for Jermaine Flood.
Well, would you be? I mean, you're kind of the director, so I don't know that you know what I'm saying.
But let me tell you this. I may be the director, but Jermaine told me I was gonna
I know that's
be
right.
Be hosting today's show while she was out there in Natchez.
The power of a woman.
Hey, it's a beautiful thing.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm here today with my traveling partner, Kamel King, with Visit Mississippi. So That's normal.
We're here.
That's normal.
Right, it's right. Just, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
But Jermaine, come home.
Yes, please come home. But let's get into our last stop of the day, and it's going to take us all the way up to Starkville, Stark, Vegas, and on the line to tell us all about the world's, this is something, the world's largest wiener dog race. I'm talking about the 2024 Starkville Derby. Forget about the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
Forget about that. This is the 2024 Starkville Derby happening at, is that right?
Say it right.
6:13 in Starkville, May 4th. We got Derby representative Aldine. Now I'm acting like Jermaine for real.
Come on now.
Aldine Thornhill. Did I say that right, Mr. Thornhill?
Oh, man. Well, nobody gets my name right the first time, so y'all are good. Don't worry. It's Alden. It's Alden.
See? I said Alden.
You're sitting in her chair.
It's something about the chair. I inherited the power of Jermaine and the her way to
slicing of names.
Ginsu names.
The time's actually going to be at 8 o'clock. We're going to open up our festival grounds. We got about 100 food and art vendors. And then at 9 a.m. we'll have our flyover, and then we'll get those Winnie dogs racing. But appreciate y'all having me on today. Love MPB and MPB Radio. So
well, we appreciate that. But it's 612 University Drive, correct? I'm sorry about that. That was the address. 612 University Drive out there in Stark, Vegas. The second annual world's largest wiener dog race live from the Cotton District. And this is benefiting the Oktibbeha County Humane Society, correct?
Yep, it is. All proceeds go to the Humane Society. The idea started last year, and we raised over $20,000. We've shattered that this year. We have so much more opportunities to give and so many more sponsors that it's going to help out a lot of pets. So we are very excited. The town is buzzing. People are flowing into town. We're even having people around the world having watch parties. They're having watch parties in Tokyo.
Wow.
Germany,
that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Uruguay, London, Scotland, Italy, all over the place. So, and across the country. So it's taken off. It is a great event, a great time for people of all ages and all animals.
Well, first of all, to have by the second year, or maybe even the first year, to be the world's largest anything is, you know, just a gigantic thing. But I've got to know, first of all, it's genius to combine it, you know, and play off the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
That's going on at the same time. Absolute genius. But I got to know, who chose it to be wiener dogs? I mean, nobody wants to see the world's largest pit bull race. I'm sure nobody would tune in for that. But, you know, where did the wiener dogs come from?
Well, you know, they got that gimmicky race up in Kentucky with the horses. You know, I don't know where they got
the
that
gimmicky
idea.
Race.
I'll tell you, I was sitting up at Two Brothers, a restaurant in the Cotton District. I was up on the balcony, and our spring festival got moved to fall. And I said, well, you know, we got baseball kind of spring events, but, you know, we need something to complement that for the city and for the businesses. And I said, we need something fun and unique. And I said, you know what? I got a weenie dog. Why don't we shut down the street and have weenie dog races?
Nice.
And that's how it starts.
3 a.m.
Nice.
Yep. I woke my wife up at 3 a.m. I was like, hey, what do you think about this? And she said, oh, God, please no. And thankfully, she changed her mind on it. And I'm very lucky. I'm very blessed to have somebody like her who helps me with these crazy ideas. She's definitely the logistics person on it.
So. Yes, thank you to the wife, because if she would have said no, we would not have the second annual
World's Largest.
We would not have had the first.
Right.
We had about 15,000 to 20,000 last year throughout the whole festival time and area. This year we're expecting, you know, probably 30 to 40.
How so do you get the word out?
I want to know what can people expect.
So we have a giant Chick-fil-A kid zone. We have around 100 art and food vendors. The races are on our Bluff City Turf Co. green carpet. It's a nice roll of pet turf, 100 feet. We got people selling mutt juleps and weenie Ritas.
Wow.
Big drink. You have to be 21 and up. Please be 21 and up to enjoy responsibly. It's just a unique setting. If you've never been to the Starkville, the Cod District, it's bars on the bottom floor and restaurants and patios, and then on the floors above that are student apartments with balconies.
Mm.
So it's a really cool scene, and, you know, the weather will be nice. You go to the baseball game after, go to Duty Noble, and it's just it's just a great time. And we need all people are a cult. I'm part of it, but we're a good cult. So we had sign up for about a week and a half, and it filled up 200 dogs that quick, and then we have about 250 dogs on the waiting list. So So if you're trying to bring Rufus or Fido up to the Derby Saturday to race, they ain't going to be able to race. Mm. But they can watch. They'll have a good time. We got all kind of good stuff for them.
Now, this is I can see this. This is a good event to bring your pets. You know, sometimes you go to different festivals and things, and it may be outside, but it's, yeah. it isn't pet friendly. But you can just bring your dogs out. And is it just only wieners are going to be racing, or do you have different? Okay.
Yeah, so we have pretenders. And that's weenie dogs, non-weenie dogs wearing hot dog outfits.
just ridiculous.
And, and so our pretenders are, you know, that's a good fun race, you know, especially last year we screwed up because we said medium pretenders, well, small pretenders. Well, we had a spaniel who was like 20 pounds racing against like this little doodle thing. And the spaniel had a probably a sub 340 time, and it wasn't even a competition. It was crazy, but it's a great time for everybody, and we're streaming it online. So if you go to our Facebook page, Starkville Derby, or youtube.com/@Starkville and then DERBY, you can watch it. We have a 5-camera setup. Got an MSU basketball star for. MSU basketball star Bart Heitch, Bo Bounds, Mason Radio Jackson on the call. So they'll be broadcasting it live for us and doing the commentary. I'll be on the track emceeing, so I'll probably be running on an hour sleep. Hopefully the crowd will be able to energize me.
Now, this is, like you said, benefiting Oktibbeha County Humane Society. You were able to raise, what'd you say, $20,000 last year, and you're looking to exceed that this year. If people wanted to, support, but they maybe can't make it to Starkville, is there a way for them to do that?
Yeah, you can go to Venmo and look up O as in Oliver, C as in Charlie, H as in Harry, and S as in Sam, and then give. And you'll see it pop up. It'll be the Oktibbeha County Humane Society Venmo. Or you can go to OCHS.org or just search Oktibbeha County Humane Society Donate. It'll come up on Google. And you can pay online via that way or via Venmo. But, you know, if you donate, say that you're donating in honor of the Derby so we can have a good track of how much money we're raising this week. And, it's just going to be a tail wagging good time for everybody.
Well, you remember those dogs from back in the day called Chows, or a.k.a. Chow Chows?
Chow Chows.
That nobody likes, that were all crazy.
And they were about as big as me.
Yeah. Let's start that race, the world's largest chow race. But none of them would end up racing. It'd just be a bloodbath. I'm sorry. I went into the weeds there.
Alden, Kamel, that was crazy. Because I think the wiener dog was chosen because
they're so cute.
Yeah, because they're so cute and
docile.
Yeah, it's not a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
The world largest.
They think they're big.
They think
they're big and mean. So,
do they?
You'd be surprised.
Wow.
Mine thinks he's like 500 pounds of pure muscle, and he weighs 20 pounds.
So that is awesome.
They like to bark, I'll say that.
Now, Alden, we are coming to the end of the show. One more time, let everybody know where they can find out more information about the 2024 Starkville Derby. I'm going to have to make it up there one year.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds crazy. But yes.
Hey, you guys come up next year. We'll have you on the Wiener Circle VIP list.
Nice.
VIP tent. So, go our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just search search Starkville Derby, and it's we're at Starkville Derby on every social media account. You'll see us on there. We have our map info, parking, all that. But come out. It's going to be a tail wagging good time for everybody. We expect a energized crowd, and y'all tune in and watch. You'll be amazed at the speed of our racers. Little egg, we say little eggs, big impact for our hospitality community and our artisans this weekend. So just tune in and have a watch party.
That's great for tourism.
Yeah, no, that's a big thing. I think we may have to replicate something like that. That's crazy. Yeah, Alden, thank you for joining us today, and we appreciate you for being here on Next Stop Mississippi. Man, we've
appreciate
come to.
You guys.
Yeah, no problem. We've come to the end of another great trip, Kamel. How was it, man?
Man, it's awesome, man. You drove the trip well.
Yeah, now it's time to put some gas in the car and get back home. So we want to thank you for riding shotgun, and thank you to today's guests, Claire Graves, Alden Thornhill, and Jermaine Flood out there at the Mississippi Antique Showcase in Natchez, happening today, tomorrow. Get out there and get your antiques appraised. Mm-hmm. To submit an event or find out more information about these and what's happening around your neck of the woods, visit mpbonline.org and click the community tab to view SIP events, or email events at mpbonline.org. Next Stop Mississippi is produced by Jermaine Flood. For Jermaine, Kamel King with Visit Mississippi, I'm Java Chapman. Stay tuned for Southern Remedy for Women, and join us next Friday at 10 a.m. for another great trip here on Next Stop Mississippi.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.